Let's take a break from real life for a moment to visit the somewhat near future on TV. Although I have to warn you, that's kind of dark too. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. The BBC HBO show Years and Years combines the politics, economy, and tech of 2019 and imagines how it all might evolve over the next 15 years. Emma Thompson is in it as a celebrity British politician with autocratic leanings, but mainly the show follows a family as they deal with the world changing around them. Russell T. Davis created and wrote Years and Years. He's also worked on the shows Doctor Who, Torchwood, and created Queer as Folk. He said the tech in Years and Years is like life. It's complicated.
I thought it was very important to show good and bad. I think some of the saddest moments, you have a world war being announced on television and the little 5-6-year-old kids just sit staring into their phones playing their games. So yes, there's bad stuff, but that's very easy to talk about. And yet there's very, very good stuff. I tell you, actually, when I made the choice to center this around a family, that came from one of the good sides of current tech, which is very simply the WhatsApp group. Mm-hmm. I'm one of three kids. There's two sisters. They've got two kids each. We're a nice family. We all like each other. We get on. But up until a couple of years ago, my nieces are grown up. 2-3 years ago, I would have texted them twice a year, happy birthday and Merry Christmas. Now, oh my God, I went out the other night and I came back to the WhatsApp group to 53 messages on the WhatsApp group because someone had cooked a lasagna with butternut squash. So yes, there's good stuff. If you choose either good or either bad, you're not a very good writer. You've got to get both in there because in the end, it's not the technology, it's the people.
Well, it's great because some of the tech feels really immediate. Like a headband that projects a holographic sort of Snapchat filter for your face that everyone can see in the physical world. It's futuristic, but it's also completely realistic.
Yes, I think if that was invented tomorrow, we'd all go and buy one. I mean, I find those filters fascinating. I mean, everyone my age, everyone sends each other's photos of themselves looking like a dog. You know, that current rash of Instagram filters like, what dog are you? Or what cake are you? I'm certainly a Battenberg. But I love those filters. And I'm fascinated by the way we love those filters. And so the moment someone invents a filter you can see in the real world, not just on your phone, oh my God, I would be phoning you from my palace on the moon.
Do you have conflicting, you know, feelings about tech, or is it like so many things where it just reflects the real world?
Yeah, it's interesting that. I think it's both. I think you have to be entertaining, but entertaining doesn't mean being glib or daft. I think I'm getting older. I think my stuff is full of warnings now, to be honest. It's funny, I'm now in the middle of an edit of my next drama, which is for HBO Max over there, which is about the AIDS crisis of the 1980s. And literally, I've just watched an edit of an episode warning about viruses. And we step out of our front doors and there's a virus on the loose. You can't learn those lessons from history enough. It's strange, isn't it? What a world.
I was telling people that I'm taking a little bit of comfort in a darker timeline. But something comforting about the passage of time, right? Like you fast forward in these episodes and increasingly terrible things happen, but also people are still living their normal lives.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that sense of perspective.
Yes, that's right. I mean, it was quite a hard show to sell initially with its concept of moving forward in time and every episode moves forward a year. But actually, I sat there saying, after I'd been questioned about it 57 times, I sat there going, do you know what else moves forward a year in every episode? Downton Abbey. And so did Upstairs Downstairs many years ago. It's actually not a format of drama I've invented. It's simply the fact that this drama's going to the future by a year every episode that had people scared. But in terms of drama, in terms of how the characters are getting on, who loves who, who's going out with who, who's cross with who loves who, to take yearly jumps in that is a very simple dramatic device. So I knew that would work. I had the confidence of those forebears to say this will work. And it was to get that sort of creep into the story, which is that in societies when dictators arise or where huge changes are made and where society might swing from left to right or right to left, it doesn't happen overnight. That's why I wanted what ends up as like a 15-year span on the show is to show these things slowly creeping up on you And actually, you're more concerned with having your tea or falling in love or having a divorce. That's actually the stuff, the meat and drink of your life, while the bigger shadows are falling on you unseen. So I needed that stretch to show the small picture of people living within a bigger picture.
So episode 6 introduces a virus. And with the coronavirus happening right now, I wonder, is that something you would have done differently in the show? Or is that just one of the many sort of things going on in the future?
It's interesting because actually it comes up in episode 6 as it's a means of isolating people within the story. To be honest, now I'm seeing a virus like this in action. It would have dominated episode 6 too much, actually. It's amazing how it dominates our every conversation now. And episode 6, as a drama, not as a document of the real world, but as a drama, has stories to wrap up. We need to know whether lovers will be reunited, whether marriages will stay together. So it's very interesting now that I sort of think that, I mean, I had done a lot of research into viruses and what would happen. So I kind of, you know, I knew the differences between endemics and pandemics, but I chose to background it. And this is a separate drama in itself, really. My goodness, this is strange days again. Just keep getting madder. What did we used to talk about in 2006? What did we talk about? Can you remember? Interest rates? Cows and cattle? What did we talk about? Guinea pigs? I don't know.
I can't remember what we talked about 2 weeks ago even. That's true. I mean, do you feel anxious? Like when you reach inside creatively and pull out what in some ways is like the worst case scenario that we're imagining in our brains and put them on screen, does that make you anxious?
I think talking about my family, that lovely family I was just describing, one of my nieces has just had twins, Bessa, 1 year ago. They had lovely, lovely baby twins. And that makes me anxious. I kind of look at them thinking, you know, I do believe in global warming. I do believe we're in trouble. I do believe that as a result, the political situation, I think that the heating up of our political situation is tied into global warming. On a vast scale, that's very, and you, for the first time in my life, you look at little kids thinking, I'm not sure you'll have a better world. I'm not sure at all you will. So I have gotten anxiety, and as a writer, that is bound to come out in my work. I do have to say that Years and Years does have a happy ending, a happy-ish ending, a sort of bittersweet, but it is a happy ending because I also believe in that. I think real life could be disastrous enough. And I think when you're writing fiction, you should reach for a happy ending because it's hard work. Happy endings are tough to find and miserable endings are easy. So I try to look for hope in it. And I do have hope in people, actually, that we are great survivors and great thinkers. And actually, I think most people are nice. I think people are fundamentally nice. That word we're not allowed to use, nice, because it seems like a bland word, but I think it's a beautiful word. People are nice. And I have to hope that our niceness prevails.
Russell T. Davis created and wrote Years and Years. And now for some related links. If you had not heard of Years and Years, like me, you are really not alone. It did show up on a bunch of end of 2019 lists as some of the year's best TV, and Wired's Geek Guide to the Galaxy had a piece from last month about discovering the show and how great the characters and the technology are. You'll find a link to that on our website, marketplacetech.org. And here's what else we're watching in tech. Tech stocks have been the beating heart of the stock market for quite a stretch now. But the famous five, Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Microsoft, and Alphabet, lost a combined $400 billion on Thursday, as Wall Street had its worst day since 1987. On the plus side, the founder of Foxconn, the Chinese manufacturer that makes much of Apple's components, said it was coming back online faster than expected after being closed due to the coronavirus outbreak. As more and more people start to work from home, we're keeping an eye on what's happening with internet connections and IT support. We'll have more on that next week. But in Italy, Bloomberg reports that Italy's national internet network has seen a 2/3 increase in traffic. And that with the country's schools closed. Apparently a lot of that traffic is coming from people playing the multiplayer games Fortnite and Call of Duty. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. Jesus Alvarado is our assistant producer. Jody Becker is our senior editor. Robin Edgar is our engineer. We had production help from Candice Manriquez this week. And like a lot of you, we were all working remotely for part of this week, and everybody did fantastic. We're going to be hearing a lot more about how to work from home in the coming weeks. Here are some quick do's and don'ts for Zoom meetings based on what I'm hearing from some workplaces. Do, mute your microphone and wear a shirt. Do not change your background to funny things while the boss is talking because you got bored. Don't try to get a private tour of people's bedrooms, and don't conduct your meetings while lying on the couch. It's still work, people. It's still work. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. Have a safe and healthy weekend, or, as I saw it put on Twitter, Disney Plus and self-quarantine. This is APM. Calling all Marketplace super fans, it's your last chance to get our new Marketplace t-shirt with your donation of just $30. Whether you're giving for the first time or renewing your support, this is a deal you don't want to miss, and it ends this week. Head over to marketplace.org to get your shirt as a special gift with your donation today, and thank you.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.